Hey, gang. I see you there, and you. You look marvelous. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the mirror of free speech, because you look in that mirror and you look marvelous. And also, you look non-kosher certified, and that's how it should be. You should look non-kosher certified. And the way you make sure you continue to look non-kosher certified is by downloading the Koshertified app from nationalbugle.com. But I think I somehow skipped shilling for RBN. How do people donate to RBN?
You can make a check or money order payable to RBN, three letters, and you can mail that to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call in that donation with your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And you can send fundage to free speech and get great content like the Patrick and Jeremy Show, which airs Tuesday night at 9 p.m. and Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Central.
Everybody really should tune in.
There's many other hosts on RBN, just in case you don't like the way that we fling the news. Every host has something to offer, whether you agree with them or not. And so I would suggest that you listen to every host, send your donation in, and understand this is unmitigated free speech.
We do our best with it. Okay. Well, there's a lot going on now, and you've got some articles, and you usually do an awful lot of prep. This time, we're going to kind of viscerally react to some things, and it might be kind of fun. So what do we have first? What's up first?
I've got this, let's see, Biden is increasing the defense budget. This is from CNN, by the way, CNN.com, CNN Politics. Biden administration proposes a larger defense budget to counter China and Russia. This, in the middle of sanctions and everybody realizing that that our economy is largely impacted by these sanctions on Russia, and pretty much a lot of the stuff that we get that's very important is from China. So I don't know how this works out, but maybe we'll go through the article and just see what they're talking about here. That's part of what we do. We expose what the mainstream is saying, and we digest it and regurgitate it for our listeners, much like a bee regurgitates honey for others' consumption. Was that a good analogy? I don't know.
I didn't know bees regurgitated honey. I know that, like, penguins regurgitate into their baby's mouth, like other birds do.
Yeah, honey is like bee vomit. You didn't know that? Guy, come on.
How sweet it is.
So CNN, President Joe Biden's proposed fiscal year 2023 Pentagon budget includes $813 billion in spending for national defense, a 4% increase.
$815 billion? Is that what you said?
$813 billion, but yeah, close. It is an increase of $31 billion from the spending package signed into law earlier in March. $31 billion. You can just print that. Just print it. Money printer go burr, right? I mean, what does it matter? That's to quote Hillary Clinton, what does it matter? Is that what she said?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? There you go. The Biden administration's defense budget remains focused on China as the primary strategic challenge, with an emphasis on strengthening European security in light of the threat posed by Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. So here's a quote If you look across the board at their capability, their economy, China remains our most challenging strategic threat. That's what the strategy says.
Okay, visceral reaction here. They're in the midst on the brink of starting World War III against Russia, and yet China is the biggest threat. You know, I mean, yeah. Like, all right, China's an even bigger threat than the country that you're starting World War III with.
Well, this is, I mean, the article is, highlighting a knee-jerk reaction of the Western government here, of the American Empire. You know, in the 90s, I don't think, you know, when America decided that they would do NAFTA and then later try to get into the TPP, basically all of our production was outsourced. I do not think that the West really thought that China would emerge as a global economic power. I think this is a wild card, and they're trying to react to this, and they don't know how to react. Nor did they think, I do not think that any of the elites who plan things, and as you know, I think there is a plan, maybe you don't, and we'll meet in the middle, but even with someone like me that thinks there's this grand plan, like this is a whole wrench in the works, that Putin would take over Russia and make it prosperous, and that China would become an economic global power, and basically, you know, they thought maybe a communist government in China would just go right along, you know, as communists did in the 20th century. But really, China has embraced something new. This is a capitalist, a controlled, I would call China's economy a very controlled capitalist atmosphere, where capitalism is allowed, but the government is there with some boundaries. And it's really taken off, and I do not think the West anticipated this. I think it's really a shock to them, and they're viscerally reacting with these statements in the article. What say you?
Yeah, I think it would have been, if you go back 35 years ago, 40 years ago, back to the 1980s, it would be really, really hard to predict what's happened with China. I mean, China was as poor as African countries. It was just dirt poor. I remember I went to China back then, and
so you were there. You were there, right?
I was there.
You didn't do a Wikipedia deep dive. You were actually there.
No, I traveled all over China, and you know I bought some trinkets. I remember I bought a pocket knife, and I bought some batteries. It didn't work. I think I might have bought a flashlight that didn't work, and I brought a sweatshirt that said Zhongguo on it in Chinese characters, China, and it fell apart at the seams. It wasn't a switchblade, but the knife fell apart too. Everything just fell apart. There was maybe something I was able to bring home before it fell apart. And just the whole idea, this was actually made in China. Have you ever seen anything that was made in China? Because literally, you never saw anything made in China. Things were made in Japan, made in Taiwan, made in Korea, made in Hong Kong. You never saw anything made in China.
Growing up in the 80s, I saw a lot of made in Taiwan.
Yes.
80s and 90s.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid at the toy store in the 60s, I started doing this as a little kid, like maybe is from the moment I could read, basically, they had one thing that they had these little like mechanical clockwork ladybugs that were made out of tin or maybe it was some kind of steel, but they were made out of metal. They had a little clockwork inside, and you go vroom vroom vroom, and then set them down, and they would move for about 3 feet. Based on springs and the mechanism inside. And you turn it upside down and it said Hong Kong on it. So there's a lot of stuff that was made in Hong Kong. And then there's a lot of stuff that was made in Japan, and made in Japan had a bad reputation, up until the 70s. And then it started having a reputation for quality, but nobody could have,
well, like,
nobody, could have foreseen this. And
Kawasaki.
Yeah, Kawasaki. Oh, yeah. Well, I remember going down to the motorcycle stores, and I was too young to drive a motorcycle, but my friend liked to sit on them. And we'd go down to the motorcycle store, and there's the Kawasakis and the Yamahas and the Hondas. And those were the Japanese words I knew. But with China, it was just so absolutely poor. And no country had gone from that poor to rich so fast. You know, Japan had never been as poor as China was. Japan, even before it opened up to the West, it actually had a pretty developed functioning economy. And that's why it was able to industrialize so quickly, because it actually had a pretty well-functioning mercantile economy.
Real quick, in the 70s with the gas crisis, you had a lot of foreign-made cars that were becoming very prevalent in the 80s.
Yeah, the gas crisis, the two gas crises, the one in the winter of 73, 74, and then the other, the summer of 79, they really, really wiped out the American auto industry, and they were great for Japan in particular, and also for Germany, the German companies, yeah. Volkswagen. But,
I was just going to say, just to attest to that, in the early 90s, I was getting my driver's license in 92, and the Toyota was a very competitive, small truck where you could still haul items and, not as much as an F-150 or a Chevy 150, but, the Toyota had a four-cylinder, it was fast, usually had a five-speed, and you could haul and you could do your business with it, and it was very affordable and very, very gas affordable in the 90s. I remember that.
Yeah, because the thing is, while gas in the United States was really, really cheap, and if you go back 50 years ago, right before the first oil crisis, it was, it was like 29, 30 cents a gallon, so it was always right around there, which is, that's about what it is here too. I mean, if you factor in inflation and, $3 a gallon, it would probably be like that. But it's cheap, and people didn't worry about gas-guzzling cars. And my brother had a, what did he have? He had like some sort of Buick, what was that, Buick Electra or some Electra, was that a car? And it got like 4 miles to the gallon or something. It got something horrendous, and lots of cars were getting less than 10 miles to the gallon. In Japan and in Europe, gas was more expensive. Gas was a lot more expensive in Japan, and so the fuel efficiency was a big deal. It didn't matter over here, but it mattered over there. And then all of a sudden, when gas went from, like, overnight, practically from 30 cents a gallon to like 60 cents a gallon, then all of a sudden people cared about fuel efficiency, and they started buying the Toyotas and the what was it called, the Datsuns, which is Nissan, but it was called Datsun, and then Honda as well, and they really took off. And there were Mazdas, the Mazda not as much, because the Mazda had a rotary engine which wasn't as gas efficient, but still. Then Mazda started switching over to piston engines, but yeah, that was a big deal.
I was a young painter in the 90s, and the contractors that I worked for, the painting contractors, they would get Toyota trucks because they were so affordable, and you could haul your painting equipment around, and they're way less than a Chevy, Ford, or Dodge. And they could get the job done for less, and that's what the contractor is all about, getting the job done for less. Yeah, I just remember that in the 90s.
Yeah. But, yeah, finishing up on the China thing, no country has done what China has done in such a short period of time, and it's such a big country too. And I'm just going to reiterate a point I've made before. The initial investment in China didn't come from America, didn't come from Jews. It came from Chinese people, in Taiwan in particular, but also, you know, the overseas Chinese who live in Southeast Asian countries, and then and then somewhat later from Korea and Japan. Americans were actually latecomers to this. It was the Taiwanese people in Hong Kong, but the Taiwanese in particular, who just started building massive factories in China, and that's really what got the ball rolling.
So we get to the second paragraph in this article in CNN Politics. If you look across the board at their capability, their economy, China remains our most challenging strategic threat. That's what the strategy says. That's what the budget says. This, according to defense officials in the budget release from this Biden administration's $773 billion funding specifically for the Pentagon in the coming year. Congress will ultimately set spending levels for the federal government. It's likely to boost that figure higher as it did in fiscal year 2022. So yeah, they're recognizing that China is an economic power. That's just happened since the early aughts, right?
Yeah, I mean, China, like in the 1990s, people were taking notice, but it was still poor. It was, it's just, the thing is, it had double-digit growth year after year, and then even decade after decade. And if you're growing at 10% a year because of the compounding factor, it means the size of your economy or whatever is compounding doubles every 7 years. And so every 7 years, well, if you're talking about 28 years, like if this goes on for 28 years, and it pretty much did, that is 16 times. That's like 4 times 7. That means you're going from, like, you know, if you're talking about going from 1 billion to 16 billion, it's a 16-fold increase. So, I mean, they've just been in 10% or more year after year. It's grown so incredibly fast, like nobody expect. And I do remember, well, I don't know. I once thought I was had a chance to invest in China, and then I found out it wasn't really a China fund; it was something else. But if I had been invested in, if that had been in a China fund that I was in, thought I was investing in, back in 1990 or whatever, I would have done really, really well. But I didn't. It wasn't a China fund. It was a some sort of like Japanese government bond fund that just had the reading for mid-range Japanese bonds. The abbreviation for it is the same as the word for China fund. So, whatever.
The irony I wanted to point out in this article, I mean, you know, the U.S. is talking about sanctioning China because of their support for Russia, but the COVID fake pandemic in 2020 made us realize that we're so dependent on China, you know, for imports. I mean, there's no way that we could sanction them. You know, the West really doesn't have a power card here. So, I mean, what are they doing? Are they flailing their arms? Is that what this is?
Yeah, it's strange. And the people, okay, you got somebody like Victoria Nuland. I know I'm picking on her a lot, but she does speak Russian, and she's been in the State Department her whole life. But the State Department, people in the State Department, these, you know, diplomats, foreign service officers, don't necessarily know a whole lot about economics. But hey, we're at the break, so we're going to take it now. We'll be right back.
A life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Asian men, they've given you a number and they've taken away your name.
And we're back. So the point I was trying to make before the break is the people who work at the State Department, you know, okay, there are people who have some sort of economic background. But these people right now, the what I'm referring to is the Jew crew of Blinken and Wendy Sherman and Victoria Nuland. I don't think they have any particular economic background. And, you know, there's you can't know everything. And right now, they just seem to – there doesn't seem to be – maybe there is, but I'm not seeing like some sort of real central leadership. And it seems as if they're able to just do what they want. And they're running this show, and they're pushing for the sanctions. And I don't know if there's anybody at the Treasury Department or the Commerce Department with really the ability to push back or the desire to push back. But it doesn't really take a genius to figure out that this has the potential to completely backfire. And, you know, the United States, yeah, obviously you said it can't sanction China. I mean, we're absolutely dependent on China for this was something that we learned a couple of years ago with the whole corona apocalypse, that the inputs for pharmaceuticals or the pharmaceuticals themselves, so many of them are from China. We can't even produce our own antibiotics now. Like so many key things have been offshored. So what do we, you know, what can we do sanctioning China?
And there is no pushback. I mean, the article points out that certainly no pushback from the Republicans. The Republicans quickly responded to the Pentagon's budget rollout by arguing it wasn't enough for the U.S. military in the face of Russia's attack on Ukraine and China's military investments. So the Republicans are like, no, spend more. So no, there is no pushback. Republicans, Democrats, they're all on the same page here with the false dichotomy of Republicans saying, no, more defense, more in this defense budget. When the question really is, why a defense budget at all on this? Why not just negotiate with China and Russia and end this thing?
Yeah.
But no.
It could, yeah, no, but no. You know, and it's such a classic Republican thing. I mean, the Republicans used to be associated with big military budgets and wars, but the Democrats have taken that on now. But, you know, like it's like the whole DR squared thing. Democrats are the real racists, and Republicans saying, no, we're really the party of Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Abraham Lincoln. I get those two confused all the time. We're really the party of Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King. He would be a Republican if he were alive today, that type of thing. And, you know, when the Democrats start getting gay with kids, then the Republicans are like, no, we're way gayer than the Democrats, you know. The Democrats are the real homophobes. And now, of course, the Democrats want a massive military budget to attack Russia. And they're like, that's not big enough. How are we going to attack Russia on that chump change? We really need to attack Russia. Even Donald Trump, and I'm sorry to say, and maybe we have an article about Donald Trump, and maybe there will be something interesting in it. But, you know, it's just kind of sad. Nobody's been tougher on Russia than Donald Trump. That's not what we need right now.
Yeah, the article does point out that liberal Democrats are pushing back. Liberal Democrats have criticized the Biden administration for ramping up the defense budget at all. So there are a few principled liberals out there, I suppose.
Mm.
Their voices are few and far between. And it does seem like this whole bipartisan push just for war. And I just can't understand it. It's too much for me to process, you know? A war with China and Russia. I mean, what? Again, a real statesman would be diplomatic here and figure out what both China and Russia wanted and come to the table to avoid all of this. Not only to avoid war, but to avoid total financial disruption of the West, which seems to be what they're pushing. It's almost as if they're pushing for financial disruption of the West.
Well, they're going to get it, whether that's what they want or not.
Yeah.
And then also, what about Joe Sixpack? What, you know, that's, I guess, is that Sarah Palin's term? What about just the regular Americans, the normies? Unfortunately, over the past few decades, they've come to view war as just something that you watch on TV. That never really has any real impact on you.
Well, Trump did inspire a certain amount of anti-war sentiment amongst his populist following. You know, how he pulled in, Republicans that were fed up with the Republican system. He pulled in Democrats and libertarians and whatnot who do not want these foreign wars. Your Ron Paul types, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a base still there, and it's almost it seems like even when Trump veers off from his base, like his base is still there.
Mm-hmm.
His base is still touting what he said in 2016.
Yep. Well, we're at the break, so we'll be back after these important messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back. And yeah, regarding Trump and war, he was never really all of that articulate about it. But one thing you can say is that he made it okay to be both anti-war and straight, you know?
Yes.
Because Trump was like a tough guy, but he was, you know, not particularly articulate about it, but he was basically anti-war. And yeah, I'm not saying Ron Paul was gay. That's not what I mean at all. But Ron Paul was a lot, you know, he was a lot more nerdy and intellectual about it. Whereas Trump just made it okay just to be a regular old straight guy, a tough guy, and still be anti-war.
Speaking of Trump, I have this very interesting article that actually it took you by surprise when I read it out to you before we recorded. This is from Politico. Trump calls on Putin to release dirt on Hunter Biden. Now, this shouldn't be surprising because, you know, in 2020, Trump called Zelensky and asked him to investigate the Bidens, which the system responded by trying to impeach Trump because of that call. But now we know that all of that stuff on the laptop is legit. It's been entered into, congressional record. And So all the people that were saying that the Biden laptop was fake Russian propaganda, I mean, they're eating some crow right now, you know? But it's just, it's fascinating that this political article is covering this. What, do you have some thoughts on this before we read into the article?
Well, you know, that Trump would say something like that is interesting. Because remember when the very first day military action started, Trump was saying that Putin was a genius, right? Now, he wasn't really, it wasn't really praise. It was just, you know, he's a genius because he's able to take advantage of these stupid policymakers in Washington. You know, it's that kind of thing. But it wasn't, so it wasn't necessarily praise, but it really wasn't condemnation. It took him a couple of days before he started getting on the bandwagon for condemning Putin. And he's been weird about it. And of course, he's mercurial. He can go this way, he can go that way. You never know where he's going to go. And of course, in 2016, he joked at a press conference something like, "Hey, Russia, if you're listening to me," what did he ask them to do?
Turn over Hillary's email.
Yeah, turn over Hillary's email. That's what he said. And then, you know, that was, I mean, that was discussed as possible grounds for impeachment later on, you know, the whole Russia hoax.
It's like Trump's visceral react is usually the best. And then after his visceral react, they rein him in.
Yeah.
And he has to capitulate.
And so, yeah, this is probably something, if this is what he said, it's probably something he just said on the fly. And, you know, well, I don't know.
Here's how Politico is handling it. This is interesting. Politico says it is the latest example of the former president soliciting foreign governments to intervene to damage his domestic political rivals. That's the react of Politico. And I mean, the same react that they had when he said the thing about Hillary in the emails. You know, as we know, Trump ran on a platform of getting along with Russia. So, you know, this is sort of like Russiagate, you know, 2.0, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to the article, former President Donald Trump, in a new interview, called on Russian President Vladimir Putin to release information regarding the alleged dealings between Eastern European oligarchs and Hunter Biden. So this is Trump's reaction to the Biden laptop becoming mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So he's reacting to that. And then the mainstream media's reaction is, well, Trump's a foreign agent. So same thing as was 5-6 years ago.
So Trump, I mean, he's a wild card and he is a factor. And if the election were to be held today, if all of a sudden we were to have a snap election, I have no doubt that he would be elected president by plurality, maybe not a majority, but, you know, nobody wants the Biden. Nobody wants the clap or the clam. And, you know, there's just nobody else out there. But the election's not going to be held today, and there's a lot of things that can be happening. Who knows if we're going to have an election? Who knows if we're going to have a country? But Trump is going around, and he is having these campaign rallies. That's what you'd have to call them. He's having these rallies every now and then, and they're very well attended. And he does get in the news from time to time. He's a former president, and he may well be a future president as well, so he can't really be ignored. And he says weird things. And, you know, so much of what he has said and done during his ex-presidency, because the focus was on the coronavirus and the vaccines, it just was, why won't this guy just shut up? Can't he just go away, go back to his golf game? But who knows? Who knows? And he never speaks really very articulately on anything. But Who knows what kind of role he's going to play? And it possibly could be a positive role, or it could be a negative role. But he's going to play some sort of role.
He has wet his finger and stuck it up into the political winds and figured out which way they're blowing. In the article, it says Trump mentioned the wife of Moscow's late mayor, Luzhkov,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. That she gave Hunter $3.5 million. And so Trump says, now I would think that Putin would know the answer to that. I think he should release it. And this is Trump in the interview. So I think Trump has figured out that the winds of the far right, which is his base, are blowing towards support for Putin, and that maybe he thinks he can get some support in 2024 because he's for saying these things. That's what I think is going on here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he probably resents the Biden for having faked his way into the White House.
The Biden.
I'm just, it's too late at night for me to remember the whole Brandon Trojan thing. And so I'm using Andrew Anglin's recent term, the Biden, which I think when I saw him, because he's been saying the Biden entity and things like that, or the Bidens, plural, which I didn't really like. But just the Biden in singular, I think it's funny as hell. It just struck my funny bone. So I think with Trump, sometimes things aren't just strategy. I think sometimes maybe it's just sour grapes and he's angry at the Biden and wants to attack the Biden. But, honestly, and then what happens? Because, it's a real question mark whether Biden's going to last this year, for instance. Because he is just like he's a senile old man, and it's clear. But it's also clear that there's a lot of people in the government who are just perfectly happy running it on autopilot or however it's being run. It really, and if you're going to have a figurehead as president, why not have the Biden? What about the clam? If the Jamaican whore, they have her. Likely she would just be happy to be a figurehead, but who knows? Maybe she'd actually try to do things, and she would have the power of the Constitution behind her because people pretend that she was actually elected, and who knows what would happen? She might be the devil is probably better than the devil you don't know. So I don't know. Like Tucker is calling for the 25th Amendment to be invoked and all of this. I don't think it's a good idea, frankly. I'd rather just have the Biden until the vice presidency is vacant, and then see if somebody else, then it's a roll of the dice. I've been saying Jeff, what's the guy's name? Joe Manchin from West Virginia. Not that I want him, but I've been saying that I think he'll be president by the midterm elections. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll do. Whether it's Loeb's Biden or the other Biden, who knows? I mean, that's better than chlamydia. But Politico, of course, deflected and did not at all address what Trump accused the Biden of. But instead, they deflected and went down to say that Trump failed to mention that he sought to do business with Luzhkov's government in the late 90s, Trump was pursuing a high-profile real estate deal in Russia as recently as 2016, including a proposed Trump Tower in Moscow. So, they don't address Trump's legitimate, accusations. They just deflect and say, well, look what Trump did. He was trying to do a Trump Tower. Well, Trump would do a Trump Tower anywhere if it benefited him.
And everybody was trying to do business in Russia. You had, PepsiCo and Coca-Cola and McDonald's, and everybody was doing business in Russia except Trump. I mean, Trump was trying to, but he didn't get anywhere.
So,
I heard something very disturbing. That Stephen F. Cohen was always pointing out. He tried and didn't get anywhere, but like everybody else is in Russia.
And I heard something very disturbing. I don't know if I'm going to get over this. Heineken has pulled their sales in Russia because of the Ukraine thing. And yeah,
Heineken.
Yeah, I'm a Heineken kind of guy. I don't know if I'm principled enough to boycott Heineken. I should.
Mm-hmm.
But no, back to the point. Yeah, many businesses, many people have sought to do business there. But nowhere in this article does Politico address Trump's accusations. They just deflect and say, well, Trump did this. Right. So, but you got this laptop, you got it, the contents, you know, in the congressional record. So, I mean, are they trying to get rid of Biden? That's the question. Why all this publicity?
You know, what are the pluses? What are the minuses for various people? And the people who are actually running the government now, if we got the clam, then she, you know, typically when you get a new president, even if it's somebody who just inherits the job, they can shake up. There's typically going to be shakeups in personnel, you know, and maybe, you know, chlamydia, she might want one of her good buddies. She might want a black woman of color to be the Secretary of State or something like that. There might be some shakeups. So I think the people within the administration don't want it. Now, the people in Congress, the Democrats in Congress, they are probably not looking forward to heading into the midterm elections with the Biden at the helm because he's a joke. But then if they're thinking rationally, chlamydia, it's, you know, she's not going to be popular. I mean, she's not in the least bit popular. So they're kind of stuck right now. That's the whole logic behind the whole Joe Manchin thing.
You got so many states like bucking the federal, you know, a desire for federalized elections. You know, so many states are basically saying, no, we're not going to do mail-in ballots. You know, you got to show up and vote. And so the 2022 elections, I mean, I thought they would all be fixed, but maybe this will be an interesting, you know, face-off with states that will allow COVID restriction mail-in ballots and states that will not. So, man, I don't even know what to predict.
Well, the mail-in ballots obviously are a useful tool. But if we just look at the experience from 2020, and I think 2022 could be somewhat cleaned up from 2020, but even if you were to say it's the 2020, they were able to hoax statewide elections in the so-called purple states, the swing states. They were able to do that. But that was only based on massive fraud in black-run cities. Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, Atlanta, that was the basis of it. And if you're talking – so you could – to the extent that there's going to be Senate elections, those are statewide elections – the Senate could be impacted by fraud, but the House of Representatives is much harder to impact by fraud because the black-run cities, they're going to elect Democrats anyway, even without fraud. And the fraud that's committed in the black-run cities isn't going to impact the rural districts. So the House of Representatives elections is way less vulnerable to fraud than the Senate elections. And I think way less.
I was just going to say that speaks to the ingenious system that the founders implemented.
The founders, the founders wouldn't, if it was still their system, where the senators would be elected by state representatives, you wouldn't even be able to have the black, you know, the black fraud in big cities impact the Senate elections.
So, I mean, it's not the system that's the problem. You know, it's the people and the corruption there. But, yeah, it does speak to the fact that the founders did establish a very sound system of government, of representative government, a republic, which is dead on the federal level. But we'll see how it goes in the states, you know, here in about, what, 6 months?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Okay, well, it is 7 months, I guess, and we are up on the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are back, and so what's in the anti-white news today?
From Washington State, mynorthwest.com, Washington State schools adopt race-based discipline. White students to get harsher punishment. I mean, we saw this coming, right? A Washington school board butted heads over a new student discipline policy that considers a student's race before deciding on a punishment. The Clover Park School District debated its new culturally responsive student discipline policy. Culturally responsive, that's what we're calling it. It means that student discipline would not be consistent based on conduct. Instead, a school considers a student's race and background, it would likely offer a harsher punishment to white students, even if the conduct is identical to that of black or Hispanic students. So basically they're saying the white kid that grew up in a great neighborhood that messes up in school, they're going to come down on them harder than the black, you know, in the ghetto because of affirmative action or because of our values as a democracy. I mean, really, this is a form of affirmative action in the form of discipline, you know, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I'd also say that to a large extent, that's this policy is already in place. It's just not formal.
Oh, they're making, yeah.
Yeah, this has been going on for a while. They've always been reluctant to, well, I don't know about always, but for a long time, they've been reluctant to punish black kids because of, you know, my discrepancies.
Well, also because, you know, there's not an active father. I mean, you know, statistically, there's not an active father in most, you know, black families, and there's really no discipline at home, and the discipline at school is really contingent upon the discipline at home. You know, it relies so much on, we're going to call your parents, you know, we're going to suspend you, you know, whereas your typical, you know, black family in an impoverished neighborhood, the parents just aren't going to care, or the female, you know, that's there in the home, they're just not going to care. Okay, you're suspended, whatever. Whereas the white students, there's a little more repercussion from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that dynamic, but really what it is just anti-white discrimination carried down to the school level.
It's anti-white discrimination because that's the values that defines us as a people.
I mean, as really, a brutal democracy.
That is the brutal democracy. It's anti-white. It's anti-family. Anti-straight. It's anti-normality. But anti-white. I mean, really, the values that define us as a nation is just feeding off the corpse of the white man.
Well, I mean, black students act up because of slavery, because we enslaved them, and therefore now they act up because they don't have a leg up.
Yeah.
And well, the white students deserve
act up because, yeah, and they act up because the racist white cops are always killing them for no reason.
Yes.
Okay. Well, guess what? We're up at the end of the show. I want to thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. You stay classy, my friend.
I think I'll try that. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, actually with Mark Dankoff, and it will be exciting.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.